This is Report to Wyoming.
In this episode, I get to talk to my friend and coworker, Drew Kirby. He is the show host for My Country, the radio station at 95.5. This is a relaxing 30-minute conversation where I get to know him a little bit better, pick his brain about how he got started in radio and just all kinds of stuff. My first question is, when you were a kid, what do you remember about listening to the radio? Maybe in the truck with your mom or dad or whatever it was.
So when I was four, I did my very first interview with my aunt, who is also in radio. We grew up together. She's just 9 years older than me. So when I was young, we would listen to music together. And when she was, she was probably nine and I was three. So we're really close together. She got a recorder and we started recording. And then she started working on the radio. So then I knew my aunt was working on the radio. And I can remember riding with my dad and listening to morning shows in St. Louis. And the guy's name was Franco Pinion.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And that's every morning I listen to Franco Pinion. And sidebar, when I started in radio, I got to work with Franco Pinion.
What?
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Probably 15 years later.
Where is Frank Opinion out of?
He was in St. Louis. He worked for a couple of different radio stations. And I can remember listening to Frank Opinion with my grandpa in a 1985 Toyota truck on 55 KUSA in St. Louis.
Wow. That is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So they say video killed the radio star. I'm going to go right for this question. What do you think about that? You know, that expression.
I think it only enhanced the radio star, actually, because instead of, you know, people listening to the radio all the time, now with technology, you can see us on FaceTime, on Facebook or Instagram, and really video enhanced the radio star because it just gives us another outlet to reach people. And so Instead of people never knowing what the person they hear on the radio looks like, they know us like we're family.
And maybe it's too, I think, the way that people consume radio. That song alludes to people listening to the radio in their homes, whereas I still feel like so many people listen to radio in their cars.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and with technology is a major player in today's world, especially with radio and TV and, you know, streaming services are wild. But still, there's that feeling of, okay, I have to go to work this morning. What's the traffic? Or what's the weather in Casper or wherever you are? So I think there's that appeal to people, even though people want to say over and over and over that they're just listening to streaming. You know, you hear people joke all the time, when was the last time you listened to the radio? And then you hear 500 people come up and say, oh, I heard you say this yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So
it happens to me all the time.
Yeah, it's flattering, but it's scary at the same time.
Right. Oh, definitely. Or if something hasn't been updated or whatever, I'm like, oh no. So people definitely are listening, and we can tell by the numbers. But before I gloss over you, kind of growing up, what was the trajectory like then? It sounds like you got maybe what they call the radio bug pretty early, and then let's say like high school. What was going on radio wise? Who were your heroes?
So. In radio, you know, I mentioned Frank Opinion earlier because that's the first real experience that I had with a radio show. But also my aunt, you know, when she was 16, she started doing some DJing at a local station in town. And then she evolved from doing the DJ thing to being a farm reporter. And to this day, she still works in the farm industry as a broadcaster. So, you know, I look up to my aunt, like, you know, I always thought that she was an older sister. So kind of like, you know, if you're a sibling, you look up to your older siblings. But as I moved along and I got into high school, I started listening to a guy in St. Louis. He was a afternoon drive guy. His name was Billy Greenwood. And I always thought his name was Bill, the letter E, Greenwood, for some reason. But then, just like I said earlier, when I got to work with Frank Opinion, I worked very closely with Billy Greenwood. So I went through high school listening to Billy Greenwood. And then when I got to college, I got an internship with the station that he worked for. And then he and I became close friends and are to this day.
At what point were you, like, that decision was made that you were going to work in radio?
When I was four.
Wow.
When I did that first interview, because I just, that's all I ever wanted to do. I either wanted to do that or be a truck driver, because I kind of figured you could see the world and the country through both of those jobs.
And so. Truck drivers listen to a lot of radio, so there's a connection for sure. It's that, it's kind of like this, you just love discourse and listening to people throw ideas out there.
Mm-hmm. So one of the other things with radio for me was, we didn't have cable TV when I was growing up. So when I was in the truck with my grandpa or with my dad, or I was at home, it was the radio or one of the three major networks. Because that's all we had to watch. So, you know, you grew up with the music and the old country songs that, well, they're old country songs now, but they were new country songs back then. But then in the town that I grew up, it was a farm community. So listening to the ag reports every day and, you know, listening to the local, you know, disc jockeys was something that everybody did. You know, you listen to KC95, which is a rock station out of St. Louis, or you listen to guys like Frank Opinion. So that's all we had to do when I was a kid.
This is interesting because your brand's 95.5. I was going to ask about developing a personality or a persona, and you don't have a different name. Like some radio stars pick, you know, that's their chance to have an alibi or their separate personality, but you use your own.
Yeah. Well, and Frank Opinion obviously is not his name. It's
right.
Frank.
Or Doc Holliday.
Right. I've always felt like when I'm on the air, I'm talking to my friends. You know, I want people to know that I do the same things they do, and you know, I live in the same place that you live, and just I'm a normal person. And I've never wanted to be something different than that.
That's amazing that you got this brand then, because you didn't have to change anything really about your lifestyle. You are country. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should speak to that a little bit more for our listeners. You love hunting. You love fishing. We'll get to the podcast in a minute. But what other kind of things do you think really make you a good manifestation, if you will, of what my country is?
Well, and like I mentioned, where I lived, we called it Cornfield High. So there were about 7,500 people in the town that I grew up in, and there were cornfields on every side of town. My grandfather grew up, and we had either beans or we had corn or we had wheat. So farming was the way of life, and when you're in that kind of particular lifestyle, country music is directed, you know, right that way. And both of my grandfathers they love to play guitar and piano and sing. And it was never rock songs they were singing. It was always country. It was Johnny Cash. It was Waylon Jennings. It was, you know, Don Williams. It was old school artists that really shaped the way that I've started listening to music. And, you know, I have friends that their dads were rockers when they were growing up, so they listened to like AC/DC or the Rolling Stones, and it wasn't until I got to high school that I even knew that classic rock existed.
Oh my gosh.
It was all country all the time.
Who was your favorite artist?
Oh man, there's so many. That one of my favorite artists, you can't go wrong with George Strait, but Don Williams was one of my grandpa's favorite artists. So, you know, obviously that was mine, and Waylon Jennings. And, you know, you look back and just the history of radio. And as I grew in the industry, I look back more on some of the artists that shaped music, that changed the way that country music evolved. And there are specific spots along the way. You look at Conway Twitty, when he came on, he changed the way that country was, where it was a little bit more AC country at that point.
And then what is AC?
AC would be, you know, kind of the not twangy music, but more the adult contemporary feel, you know, like that you would hear would be, you know, Marvin Gaye and those types of singers were. And then you move on to when I started really getting into it, and Brooks and Dunn and Garth Brooks and, you know, a lot of the 90s artists, Toby Keith, and Alan Jackson. So I would say that's the music that really shaped me in country, because it really evolved with Garth Brooks. As soon as Garth came, music changed. You know, Randy Travis is another country artist that was impactful in my life.
One thing I've always loved about country music is that the wholesome values. Now, of course, they do talk about drinking a lot, but there isn't a ton of swearing. The love songs are pretty innocent. It's not like some of the hip hop you hear. So I think that really resonates with people, and especially around here. Have you found that to be true of your audience in Casper?
Well, you know, they say that if you play a country song backwards, you get your wife back, your truck back, and your dog back, right?
Oh, that's okay. Good advice.
So, but, yeah. I mean, in country music, if you look at Casper, you look at Evansville or Mills or Midwest or even go to Laramie or anything, I mean, the country lifestyle is lived here. There may be different varieties of how it's lived, but the cowboy hat, cowboy boots, belt buckles, the rodeo, the riding horses, the, you know, being out and just enjoying what God gave us here. I mean, that's country through and through. So much so that some of the bigger names in country music come here to get away. You know, Luke Combs has hunted around here. Luke Bryan comes here and fishes the North Platte. Jordan Davis has been here. So a lot of the country artists of today are influenced by what we have here in central Wyoming.
Right. And Ian Munzik is a Wyoming boy, too.
Yeah, but, and Chancey Williams.
And then there's that gal from Yellowstone. She just filmed something, one of her music videos.
Lainey Wilson.
Yes.
That was in Laramie. Yeah.
That was really cool.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And she was actually at Cheyenne Frontier Days just a couple of weeks beforehand. And then she got up with a ranch. And if you look at that video, there's some one of the whatever county they were in, deputies are in the video as well.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I need to watch it again. That video was just awesome, and I love fashion and Western fashion. And to see how Wyoming has influenced even like Hollywood, that's crazy, in the last 5 years.
Right. Well, with the TV show Yellowstone, which obviously that's about Montana, but when you go to the train station, you're coming to Wyoming. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're about to be offed, you're coming to the cowboy state.
Right. Yeah, Wyoming has a different brand of cowboy culture.
And it's also funny because if you're on I-80 in Omaha, Nebraska, and you have to get to Reno, you know, you're coming through Wyoming.
Right.
You know, so all of the country artists have been here, and I'm sure a lot of songs have been written on buses about the wide open sky and the empty space and the wide open spaces.
And what's cool is we don't have paparazzi here. So if you were trying to get away.
You're as close as they get.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
Colby running around with the cell phone.
And rest assured, celebs, if you're listening, I'm not hiding in the bushes anywhere. That's too much work. So.
That's what she'll tell you anyway.
No, our audience doesn't care. They don't even pretend to be pretentious. So I think that's really cool, too, about Wyoming. And that's it. I guess I was going to ask you next before I get too in the weeds. There's a balance between the music, but then also conversation and the talking to your audience directly. So what's kind of your process there?
So I mentioned that being on the radio, it's like you're talking to your friends. Because if you go out and you meet someone that you've never seen before ever, they can tell you, you know, hey, thanks for talking about that or thanks for doing that. But my focus has always been, how does the community be affected? How can they be affected by what I'm talking about? And I try to keep it family friendly. I don't, you know, because when people are listening to me, they're taking their kids to school. They're heading to work. They just dropped their kids off. So that's what I focus on, is what can I say that maybe Johnny in the back seat isn't going to ask Mom, what does that mean? And then Mom's got to have that, you know, difficult conversation. So however I can have that connection with them, because, you know, I'm an older brother and I'm an uncle, and, you know, so I know what it's like to have those odd situations.
I love listening to your show in the mornings. I listen to it with my kids. One thing that you are really good about bringing up, or that you seem to really care about, is veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Has that always been? And by the way, folks, as you're listening, right behind him, he's got a giant American flag hanging up. Has that always been something that's been really important to you?
It really has. And it's interesting. My dad was a 30-year police officer, but no one in my direct family served in the military. But one of my best friends growing up, We went to high school together. We grew up together. He actually was a recruiter here in Wyoming. And when I moved here, it was the first time we were close together in a long time. But I saw how he was affected by, you know, 9/11. 9/11 changed the way that the United States is. And I, you know, one of the things I didn't want to ever see happen was what you hear about Vietnam. When they came home, they were doing their job is all they were doing. When they came home, they didn't get to the credit they deserved. And I'll tell you that this flag on the wall was sent to me by a Navy SEAL that was in the conflict and had ran lots of missions in both Iraq and Afghanistan. And, you know, he, after he retired, he went into the music industry. So Pete Scobell is his name. And I got to spend time with him. And in 2013, the movie came out was American Sniper, which Chris Kyle's story. And then there was the movie about Marcus Luttrell, The Lone Survivor. And my focus was like, look what these guys go through. And, you know, even though it was a Hollywood movie, the stories are still the same. And I thought, I'm going to do everything I can do to make sure that these men and women get the credit they deserve. And when I came here, there were organizations like HD Outdoors that really all they do is they focus on veterans. And they've invited me to be, you know, with them and to help them. And some of my closest friends are all veterans. And that's just something that's been, you know, close to my heart since, I guess, I was high school, probably.
Oh, wow. And I've just been telling everyone this because I'm so darn proud of her. My sister is halfway through boot camp. This will be my second sister who has joined the military. She's 19 years old, and it's just so funny. She will write me letters. I've only talked to her on the phone once during this process, so she's got something like 6 weeks left. I won't get too tangential here, but she'll write these letters, and it's just so hysterical because she's in so much pain physically, emotionally. She's got a boyfriend. She's like, what the am I doing?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so they're sleeping in the dirt right now. Somebody screwed up in their barracks or whatever it is, and they had to they're now sleeping outside for the remainder of this.
Yeah, well, and that's just the beginning, you know?
Oh,
I mean, if she ever is deployed, she could be sleeping in the dirt or in a truck or sitting up or, you know, with a gun in her hand. And you know, you think about that and all the men and women that went through that. And we've seen conflict, a lot of conflict in our lifetimes. You know, you're quite a bit younger than me, but, you know, from the first Gulf War through Iraq and Afghanistan and 9/11, I mean, it's just, it's crazy to think about that.
That is very true. And yeah, the sacrifices that people make so that we can have freedom and this amazing life that we live, especially here in Casper, Wyoming. I've only been here for 2.5 years, but I am a Wyoming girl. Our listeners already know that. I went to Montana for a little bit. I got lost, and then I came back.
Right.
What do you love about Casper?
Oh, gosh. A lot of what we've talked about now. The community aspect of it. I've lived a lot of places in this business. I've been doing radio for 30 years. This month is my 30th year of being in the broadcast industry, like where all I did was that. And I've traveled all over the place, but I've never seen a place where people are so giving. We do Thankful Thursdays on Thursdays for 20 Thursdays a year. And, you know, we're making between $4,000 and $40,000 in a 2.5 hour period for organizations in this town, in this area. And the way that everyone gives back, and there are retired folks that come out or there are people that are paycheck to paycheck that will sacrifice a little bit just to help out these organizations. And, you know, you can go anywhere in this town and there are people there that'll help you or that need help that will gladly take help and know that someone's right around the corner that'll be there for them.
I love that about it too. It feels safe. It's like it's a real community.
Mm-hmm.
Something else I know about you is that you love camping and travel.
Yeah.
And so you love driving around Wyoming and finding different cool spots. What have you done this summer that you want to tell us about?
This summer has been busy. I haven't got to do as much as I would have liked to have done, but I've camped a couple of times, and the camping, and I mentioned my grandpa a lot because I grew up, my parents were 18 and 17 when I was born. So we lived about 50 feet from my grandparents and then like a mile from my other grandparents. So I was always with my grandfathers. Well, when I turned 12, my grandma and grandpa took my cousin and I on a vacation, and we went through Nebraska, South Dakota, Montana, and Wyoming.
Hmm.
And that was the trip that changed my outlook on where I was going to end up. So I started radio in 1995 with the goal of eventually making it to either South Dakota, Montana, or Wyoming. And fast forward 27 years, and I'm here. So when I got to Wyoming, I didn't stop. I got in the truck every time I could because I needed to explore as much as I could so that, you know, because you always hear, keep your California out of my Wyoming or leave it out away. Well, I wanted to know that, you know, I knew more than a lot of the people that have lived here. And there are people that have told me that they've lived here 25 years and I've seen more in 3 years than they've ever seen. So that was always the thing that I was like, I want to know this state, you know, frontwards, backwards, upside down, dirt roads, paved roads. And so that's what I've done. I've traveled everywhere and seen as much as I could. And matter of fact, I was just thinking I need to go to the southwest part of the state, more over
yes,
where you're
you
from.
Do. It's so pretty.
So that
I'm biased.
You know, I can see things that I haven't really seen.
Really good fishing, although people would be upset that I'm saying that right now. There's terrible fishing. Nothing there. Might as well just skip over it. And it is the icebox of the nation is what they call it. So pretty darn cold, too.
I actually just did an article, and I'm sure that you know about the Highway to Heaven, which runs right in the southwest part of Wyoming. And that's fascinating to me, too. So during my research, I listened to a lot of truckers. And they'd mentioned that is the snowiest, coldest, most chain-used area of all Wyoming. And you think of how much snow is really all over this state, and to know that part is there.
Yeah.
I want to go see that.
Oh, I hope you do. Another thing that I've noticed that you love to do is fish.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about fishing. Have you gotten to do much of that this summer?
I have probably fished more this summer than I have all the time that I've been here. So I started helping when I started doing the Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoor Show. Brian Woodward from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports is one of the guys that I talk to every week. He's one of the sponsors of the show. He also is part of the Wyoming Walleye Stampede. So they have four different tournament weekends that, you know, they fish and I help them out.
And this
so
is a that's, catch as many as you can kind of thing. Right?
Yeah, it's you have a certain amount of fish and you can only have five in the boat and they're catch and release. So, you know, they make sure that the fish they live. And so during the times when we have downtime, we got a line in the water. So just fishing and fishing and fishing and catching fish, not catching fish sometimes, you know. And then when outside of that, I've gone a couple of different times, gone to South Dakota and did some trout fishing there and go down to Glendale. That's one of my favorite places to fish. Pathfinder, Alcova, all over.
Love
I've
it.
I've never actually gone on one of the guided trout tours on a boat on the river. But that's in the future plan, too.
What about hunting? Fall will be here soon.
Yeah. Last year, I killed my first ever elk. And
I remember I ate some of this.
You did? Yeah. and that was a great experience. Cedar Ridge Outfitters, Tony Kaiser, you know, we've become really good friends. And, you know, living in Casper and not knowing people really outside of Casper when I got here, you know, is who I met, and Tony actually listened to my morning show. And when every year during Christmas time, right before Christmas time, our whole company does the Stuff the Van. And Tony, who was part of, you know, Cedar Ridge Outfitters, he would answer my trivia questions while he was scooping snow. Like that's
Aww.
Part of his daily job was that. So going out last year and being able to hunt elk was, you know, a bucket list deal. And then getting to be buddies with some of the other guys like Wiley King and Brian, like I said. They do waterfowl hunting, so I've done a lot of goose hunting and pheasant hunting out at Riverbend Roosters. And I haven't done much small game because there's not a whole lot of small game hunting to do. And in the future, I'd like to do, you know, like a mountain goat or
Something like trophy. Horn, yeah, you know? Big. Okay.
Yeah.
So. I would – my mom, I remember when I was a kid, got a bison. And that filled a couple of freezers at least. And it was really cool. She's not your typical hunter. She wouldn't go with my dad all the time. She would go up to hunting camp and stuff, but she would usually just hang out at the cabin and cook and all that. But one year she just decided she wanted to get something. So she went on a bison hunt. Actually, my dad bought it for her for Valentine's Day.
That's
a Wyoming story.
That's love that keeps on giving right there.
That's right. And it was great. I remember as a kid, I still remember trying and going like, this tastes really good.
Yeah.
And I still love bison and elk to this day.
Yeah.
So whenever any of our family hunts, I'll usually be the benefactor of some of that. But maybe one day in my future, I'll get something too.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I know people.
You're the right guy to know.
We just have to make sure you have your hunting safety course and all that. And
I've got my hunter safety.
Okay.
I have a 243.
We can get her done.
Okay.
Matter of fact, you can probably just show up and we can get it taken care of.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely got to be able to see.
One of the things that about my – I don't want people to make it sound like I just go out hunting for trophies. I didn't want to hunt bull elk. You know, eventually I'd like to get an elk hunt, but I wanted to fill the freezer. And I hunted cow. And this year I'm going to hunt cow, and then I'm going to be able to help other people by giving meat because I got two cow tags. So I'm going to be able to give meat to other people too.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like I said, I'm usually the benefactor of this. Yeah. So that's excellent.
Yeah.
And that kind of, I think that's a good point to start talking more about your show and where people can listen to it and what kind of things they can expect to hear on the show, Hunting and Hooking.
Yep, Hooking and Hunting.
Oh, Hooking and Hunting, excuse me.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors. It airs on both My Country 95.5 and K2 Radio. Also, KOWB in Laramie. So it's on Laramie Saturday mornings at 6. My Country 95.5 Sunday mornings at 9 and K2 Radio every Sunday at 11. So what we cover is we talk every week with Janet Millick and the gang at Wyoming Game and Fish Department. We want to make sure that all the information that is out there that needs to be known is known. Like this year, the sage grouse, you have to have a permit to hunt. Everybody has to have one that's hunting. We covered that a couple of weeks ago. Bears. You know, the bears that are, you know, here in our area are maybe not as mischievous as the grizzly bears, but Dan Thompson is one of the guys that is on the show who is the large carnivore specialist or supervisor, I guess, with Game and Fish. Then Brian Woodward from Rocky Mountain Discount Sports is on every week. We talk about deals that are in the store. And then he and I have had a lot of outdoor adventures over the last few years. So we talk about that and talk about being prepared. And it just so happens, you know, we talked a little bit about Tony Kaiser and Cedar Ridge, but Kamisha Larson is one of his guides, and she's also with the First Hunt organization and has really mentored many people in Wyoming, many women in Wyoming, to get their hunter safety, to get out and hunt and fish and learn what to do, because there are a lot of mothers that are single mothers that have kids that want to do that, or they need assistance and they have to get their own meat. So, you know, we try to cover as much of the outdoor industry in Wyoming that we can.
This has been Report to Wyoming, presented in the public interest by Town Square Media.